the session of council open today. I'd like to thank all for attending. Good to see you here today. Under item 2.0, changes approval of agenda, I have no changes to the agenda today. Councilor Kelly?
I'd like to move to defer item 13.2, vending bylaw, to the next committee of the whole meeting.
Do we have a seconder for that? Councilor Clancy? Ready for the question? All those in favor of that motion to defer? All those opposed? Unanimous? Now, a motion would be in order to accept the agenda as has been amended. Moved by Councilor Muse, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? You ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. We have presentations this morning, and the first one is from the Department of Environment regarding Carter's Beach. I would ask Sally Steele if she would come forward with her delegation.
Thank you, Mayor Dagley. Councillors, good morning.
Good morning.
Staff, public, happy to be here. My name's Sally Steele. I'm Protected Areas Coordinator with Nova Scotia Environment, and Russell McKinley, Regional Director with Natural Resources, and Mike Silver, Area Supervisor.
District Supervisor
with Natural Resources, have kindly joined me as well. And we're here to talk about Carter's Beach and the pending nature reserve. Oh, technology's working for me. We like that. And basically put forward a proposed management approach for the pending nature reserve that is a collaborative approach with the municipality and the community, and to also discuss plans for 2017 and how we're going to move forward with this. So to give you some context, this lights make it a little easier. Just to give you a little background and context, some of the conservation values, I know this is an area you all probably know and love well. There are over 20 different ecosystems types in a relatively small area. There's several species at risk, mosses, lichens, a rare orchid, and until recently it was a nesting site for piping plover. I was interested to learn that actually they're the highest dunes in Nova Scotia on that southern portion of the beach. And it's also the islands, because the pending nature reserve includes Spectacle Islands and Massica. It's home to colonial nesting birds in the area. There's a number of historical and cultural values with evidence of Mi'kmaq habitation and actually two provincially registered archaeological sites. Of course, there's the well-loved lighthouse on Spectacle Island, built in 1873, that the Spectacle Light Society oversees the management of, and we've worked quite closely with them over the last number of years, and worked with them to co-fund a bird survey last year, and they've also done work on the dunes, and looking at the history of how the dunes have changed. And of course, there's the history of recreational and tourism use, and that's evidenced by some of the human use issues we've seen there, particularly last summer, where the beach can have upwards of 150 people or more on a sunny day. And, you know, as I'm sure most of you are aware, this is causing a number of impacts to the dunes and to unauthorized walking trails. There's been human waste in the dunes and improper garbage disposal, and also the public, the parking problems, which are causing a public safety concern. You know, if an ambulance was to get down there on a sunny day, they might not actually make it to the beach with all the parking. And the impact this is having on the local landowners, particularly those that live along Carter's Beach Road. It's a bit of summary of our efforts to date. We've had public consultations since the Nature Reserve was announced as part of the Parks and Protected Areas Plan in 2013 and 14. We had a number of public meetings here. We undertook a beach user survey in 2014, which captured nearly 150 people. We found all sorts of interesting things when we spoke to people that actually visited the beach, including 95% of them would be willing to pack in and pack out their garbage. And we've had meetings with Regina Queen and some very dedicated and interested community members right from the start. To improve the parking lot and the trail down the beach, we did some safety improvements in 2015. Of course, we had the one garbage stream there that's maintained by DNR. And Regina Queen's requested temporary porta potties last summer to help deal with the issue in the dunes. And we've also looked at various options for parking, including an alternate parking lot off Southwest Port Matoon Road, and that for various reasons wasn't deemed a viable alternative. And then TIR and Regina Queens entered into an agreement to widen Carter's Beach Road to accommodate safer passage and some level of roadside parking. So that's what we've seen to date. And then what we're proposing today is going to be underpinned by some management principles. And first and foremost, we want to protect the ecological and cultural archaeological assets as a first priority. And then we want to maintain and enhance the cultural values and look at public safety and offering a unique visitor experience to Carter's Beach that isn't found anywhere else in the area, understanding that this is a very sensitive ecosystem. We want to contribute to building the social and economic benefits so that when people come to the beach for a day visit, they can also stay at local accommodations, visit the local cafe for lunch, visit Somerville Beach Provincial Park or Kedgy Seaside, and to see it as part of a suite of options that are available in the community. And we also want to apply adaptive management principles, and this is something that the community group that has been quite active on Carter's Beach supports as well. So that's the notion that if we try something, that we see how it goes, we monitor it, and then we change or adjust our approach as new information comes in about how it's working or not working. So with the dunes, for example, we could put up symbolic fencing and signage. There could be a summer student at the beach who are welcoming people and saying, look, you know, this is a beautiful area, please enjoy it. You know, stay off the dunes, take your garbage home with you, and so on. And we want to create strong partnerships with the municipality and with the community so that we have a united front and that we're all sort of singing from the same hymn book, if you will. So as far as the boundary and the designation, we're going to work towards designating it still as a provincial nature reserve. We want to work to provide suitable access and use of the lighthouse through the Spectacle Light Society. So they want to be able to have a dock where they can land and then access the lighthouse across the island and so have that access and then you know, perhaps have a portion of that area immediately surrounding the lighthouse that would be you know, for them to use and manage and so they can keep their agreement with the federal government and so on. And then we want to review parking options in this year in consultation with the municipality, TIR, the RCMP and local community, because it really is, you know, something that we need to all work together on and something that we need to have a shared approach because everyone has a role to play. As far as the human use impacts go, we're proposing that outhouses be installed to reduce the human impacts to the dunes, and this would be a provincial and a municipal partnership. We want to install interpretive, educational and directional signage so that people understand these messages and they know where to access the beach. We want to trial the pack-in, pack-it-out garbage management, and so once the interpretive signage is in place, basically we would take the garbage can away and trial it, and then maintain the walking trail to the beach and the limit the access over the embankment, so you know where the parking area is at the end of Carter's Beach Road. People are climbing over that embankment directly onto the beach, right past the poison ivy. So we need to put up poison ivy signs and keep people to that formalised trail that we have going down the beach. And actually, from what I've heard from Mike and what I've seen myself and speaking to local community members, that walking trail is working quite nicely and people are staying on that for the most part. We want to create a public communications plan so that we can reverse some of the social media narrative that's been increasing visitation to the area, so that people know that they can come to Carter's Beach and that it's a short stay and that you know, there's other tourist opportunities around the area, and it's part of a suite of options that are available, but not to promote it as a tourist destination, just given the sensitivity of the site. And then for 2017, we're proposing to maintain the current parking lot as it is and then limit on the parking on the road to one side of Carter's Beach Road. So this is the map. You can see the pink is the pending nature reserve. And the Spectacle Islands. And so the floating dock would be at one end of the island, and they'd have the Light Society, and the public would have access across the island to the lighthouse. And so central to all of this would be the formation of an advisory committee. And so that would, so because we really want to have local interests represented and included in the decision making and have the shared stewardship piece, which is so central to the success. And so that would include the province and the region of Queens municipality, of course, community groups, so the Carter's Beach Stewardship Group, the Spectacle Light Society and other interested members. And we promote the education and stewardship piece. We'd help monitor and address the human use and the ecological protection and cultural values and all that good stuff. Create a strategy to advance the social and economic benefits that are consistent with this management approach. And then assist with communication efforts to inform and engage the public. And how we're suggesting that we roll it out is that we would prepare a newsletter that would outline what I'm talking to you today about, and then host a public meeting to get input and discuss it, and then assemble the advisory committee and develop recommendations for the summer of this year. So it's all going to happen pretty quickly. And then we develop a joint communications plan so that when questions come up, that we're all unified in our approach. And then we prepare and install the signage and install the outhouses at the parking lot this summer. So that's my presentation. And feel free if you have anything to add. Questions?
Thank you. Councillors, have any questions or comments? Councillor Fancy?
Could we talk about the parking space? I know that this goes, I guess that's a municipality, but we're talking about putting signage along the road, maybe only parking on one side or anything like that, and that the parking space that's going to be there is going to change, isn't it, or not?
The parking's not going to change for 2017, no.
Okay.
What we've heard from the community is that, you know, and what we've seen ourselves is that with so many visitors and such, there's a real impact to the beach and to the visitor experience. So we're proposing that for 2017 we basically maintain the existing parking lot
well, as it is, the existing footprint, and that that could be done in partnership with the Region of Queens. So we could enter into agreement potentially, and Region of Queens would be responsible for maintaining the parking lot and the outhouses on a go-forward basis. And then we work with TIR and who have jurisdiction over the road, and look at limiting parking on one side of the road entirely. So
would that be for this year?
Yeah, basically status quo for this year. Yeah.
But you're gonna allow both sides parking this year?
Not both sides, no. Just one side.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I have in that slide there that we'd also include the RCMP and ask that be enforced as well.
Mr. Lemieux?
The parking lot at the end of the last season, it was extended a little bit on one side, which should help a little bit.
Mm.
But like I said, we are looking at making the parking lot bigger, but it's not in the budget for 2017.
Okay.
And like I said, in the parking on one side of the road, we feel that that's going to help a lot, but we have to get the RCMP to enforce it.
Deputy Mayor McClellan?
Parking on the one side of the road is going to cause an issue because there's, I know, in excess of 300 cars were there one time and I was down. So that's going to extend out into the main roadway into Southwest Port Matoons. They're going to have to park somewhere. Is there any consideration, and it's just a thought in my head right now, of being, if there's enough private land there, is it possible to get into negotiations with a private landowner to maybe lease some property to make a parking area along that route?
Yeah, do you
want to
chime in?
Well, you answer and then I'll make a comment too.
So part of our challenge and the concern is that this is a really sensitive ecosystem, and there's archaeological values there, there's ecological values, and if we keep expanding the parking, then people will still keep coming. And what we've heard from the locals and from the residents, and what we've seen ourselves, is that at some point we're going to have to manage the carrying capacity of this beach and let visitors know that once the parking lot's full and that one side of the road's at capacity, then there are other options, and they can go to Somerville, where there's I think in the order of 200 parking spaces, there's change rooms, there's washrooms, there's a boardwalk. So if you're looking for that full day visitor experience where there's the amenities and the infrastructure, then Somerville Beach is just, I think, an 8-minute drive away. So that's going to be the message.
I think actually Councillor Mews was going to there is land, and I believe that this would be discussed under the advisory committee at the end, which we're looking at discussing how the municipality would lease and expand in some degree a parking lot, as Councillor Mews said, but we wouldn't be looking at doing that for this summer. I believe the widened shoulders probably accommodates another couple dozen cars potentially, so I guess that would be something that we would need to discuss with the advisory committee on that.
Yeah.
Councillor Mews?
One of the things, Susan, Councillor Flybrobson, is that, you know, there's people down there that let people go park in their yard. The yards are getting pretty full. But there's three or four houses down there that let them park in their yard. And the people give them a little bit of money when they come out. It is being done now.
Any other councillors? Councillor Johnson?
I think from what I heard, though, you know, the parking certainly was a safety issue, but the whole idea of what you're going to try to accomplish there and the fact of making this a reserve is key. And the key to that is education. And maybe for the first year, and what I heard Sally say there was maybe have a summer student there, have some presence there for the first year or two, to be able to help people walk them through what the intent is, because most people just reading signs and things like that, I don't think it's a hard thing to change that behavior. not so much as enforcement, but more from the education side. I think it's going to be key to the success of the advisory commission and the whole, you know, future focus of what you want to accomplish there. So, good job.
Any other councillors? Councillor Kelly?
Do you currently have a plan for marketing promotion for, like as you said, your suite of options that you have? And as everyone's already been talking about the parking situation, it's already signage to have one side of the street parking only, but everybody ignores it and parks down both sides. So it's really going to turn to a situation again this summer, as it was last summer, the summer before that, where the police are just going to have to be there all the time and towing cars away, which is just going to exasperate the situation. So if you have a plan for marketing, and are you definitely going to, is the Department of Environment going to hire a summer student this summer?
The marketing promotion piece would be something that we would do through the advisory committee as well. And so there's that, again, that joint approach to things. And then the summer student, we think that the region of Queens would be perfectly positioned to hire the summer student because you're local and you have summer students in the area, I understand, on a regular basis. So that would be something we'd ask the region to potentially bring forward.
Any other councillors? Done well.
No, we've done great, so. Okay.
Did anyone have anything extra to add part of the presentation?
No, other than the department, I think we're trying not to encourage development of another provincial park within such close proximity to Somerville. Somerville is where we want.
And Thomas Riddell.
Yeah, and Thomas Riddell. That's where we would like visitors to concentrate on. So I think it's a matter of finding, as Sally had spoken to, that to encourage people to maybe do short visits, but for those family stays and large groups to head up to the provincial parks that are nearby. So.
Councillors? Councillor Muse, do you have any action?
Okay, I have a recommendation. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality, number one, refer the presentation to staff for a report to return to Council on budget implications, and number two, direct staff to work with the government on further community engagement.
Seconder for that? Councillor Kelly? Discussion on the motion? Any councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you for the presentation. Very appreciate it.
Could I just ask a question? Just about, we make sure that the presentation is made available to all of the councillors.
Yeah, I can email it to you.
It'll be part. Yeah.
Thank you.
That will go in the minutes as it normally does.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Your hand.
Oh, I'm good. I'm just gonna eject my.
Move on to item 3.2.
Yeah.
Cindy Rubenstein is going to give a presentation on behalf of Five Tiers Final Grant.
I may need a little tech support because it's not on my computer, it's on yours, and I'm not sure how to find it. Some of you don't actually know who I am. I am Cindy Rubenfine. I am a commercial vegetable farmer here in Queens County in Pleasant River. I sell my products all at retail. That's how small vegetable farmers make a living. I'm also the president of Privateer Farmers Market, which was founded 3 years ago. It's not the market on the Mersey. It's a group of professional producers. And I don't speak very well extemporaneously, so you're going to get stuck with this person reading their notes, for which I apologize. I'm talking about our needs for accomplishing continued success and expansion, but also to discuss the economic and community opportunities and benefits generated by healthy farmers markets. I'm sure we all share goals and visions for Queens County of a vibrant local economy, increased wealth and job opportunities, attracting new residents and keeping them here. Before I detail how a farmers market can help with these goals, is Privateer viable? Well, this is my income from the last 3 years. And the third year, 2016, is notable for the fact that not only did we start our season 3 weeks later, but we also welcomed two new vegetable farmers. And I still increased my profit. Well, our cost to attend was a whopping $10 a week, and at the peak of the season, a few vendors, including me, grossed over $1,000 per market for that $10 fee. That's obviously not a living. Okay, here's my farm's income from Lunenburg Farmers Market for 2016, just my farm. Our cost to attend the market, $1,200. We made nearly $100,000 in sales. That's a healthy farmer's market. Look at the high income potential and the affordable fees. Farmers markets provide immediate affordable access for entrepreneurs to test the water. They also provide community gathering spaces and access to fresh local food, and they keep money circulating in the local economy. One Saturday last summer, I took in my cash at Privateer Farmers Market and paid local farmer Dwayne Krause for a big load of mulch hay. I mulched my strawberries and garlic with it. He looked at that cash and he said, well, I think I'll go up to the machine shop and pay my bill with William, and he did. William called Corey Fancy and got a couple loads of gravel for his driveway, all from my tomatoes and greens. That's a dollar multiplier in the local economy. I don't know what Corey did with the money. I can't answer that one. Here are two new entrepreneurs at Privateer Farmers Market in 2016, both returning in 2017 as well. Growers, bakers, butchers, wineries, distilleries, fine crafts, and more are all sold at farmers markets, providing vendors affordable access to retail markets. Clearwater started out as two guys selling fish from a pickup truck. I didn't know that. Sometimes small-scale marketers become companies with lots of full-time employees. In 2013, the Department of Agriculture and Farmers Markets of Nova Scotia partnered to commission a study called Cultivating Community Economy. It demonstrated clearly the value of farmers markets to their towns and to other businesses in those places. In 2015, New Glasgow partnered with their farmers market to build a year-round market building. This market went in a few short years from being a seasonal 10-vendor market to a year-round 45-vendor market, which provides a massive draw to New Glasgow. Quoting the mayor of New Glasgow, working with our farmers market is one of the key strategic priorities of council. The market has had a great impact on the rural and creative economies of the region. Kentville finds their market so important that the market manager is a paid employee of the town. I'm the market manager at Privateer, a volunteer position. Lindsay Young, the community development coordinator for Kentville, says, our farmers market serves the people of Kentville, but also folks from outside town. On market day, our downtown comes alive with more activity than we see any other day of the week. Downtown businesses benefit from this, and one local retailer who does customer counts reports that market day is his busiest day. Economic impact studies and business surveys demonstrated that people who spend money at our farmers market will also spend money in other Kentville businesses. Take Pugwash. It's a community of 800 people. Shoppers who come in on market day spend typically an additional $19,000 at surrounding businesses. Farmers markets are also, and I wish I had a photo, great places to hold collaborative events. Mayor Dagley, Brian, Heather, Sue, Jack, all took free community space at the market, apparently to very good effect in their campaigns. A lot of customers took time to visit with them. We've also hosted for free the Health Board, QCCR, Liverpool Garden Club, Lunenburg Queens Recycling Coordinator, Queens Manor, local Battered Women's Shelter, and the Mersey Tobiatic Research Institute, all given free community space. So we had rural economic development, downtown revitalization, community boosting, and health promotion all together. Here's part of a letter from Mayor Clark to the board of our market. It is wonderful to see the privateer farmers market becoming a focal point of the community. And in speaking with business owners, I have been told that your success has been impacting positively on other merchants in Liverpool as well. It was a beautiful letter, and I will not read the rest of it. We envision the market growing to a year-round market with a growing number of entrepreneurs. Does Liverpool need that? Judging by the number of Queens County folks I saw at Lunenburg last week, I think so. To do that, we need a permanent space. We believe a building between the two riverfront parks would be ideal, with abundant parking and close to downtown businesses. A building with the possibility of year-round markets would do the most to attract more vendors, grow the market, and increase our draw for customers. A building used one day a week is not much use, but other markets use their buildings for many events, like concert space, which would be a real boon for privateer days. Other markets list yoga classes, demonstrations, crafts, cooking, swing dance, and more. I can see a partnership with Coastal Queens Place, the local outdoor outfitters, and others. I should also mention that established markets are not always holding their hands out for money from their towns. Lunenburg Market pays the town $14,000 a year in rent, and we pay our terrific market manager $19,000 a year for 20 hours a week. Why do we want to be indoors? It's so nice outside. Well, it's not. You can see, I think you can read, I won't read it for you. We often receive potential vendor inquiries who really want indoor space. They won't come. Our local chocolatier is one good example. Nourish Self-Care left this market after several consecutive weeks of damp and fog steamed the labels right off her products. Julian's Bakery would be far better off out of the wet and wasps. Vegetable vendors watch in frustration while our products either broil in the sun or our greens wilt in the breeze. We worry about our brave craft vendor, Melissa Labrador, her art exposed to the weather and the wind. Most artisans just won't attend markets where their wares are at risk of damage from the elements. Where am I? Our indoor markets have attracted the most vendors and have been really popular. Again, even in December with all the tourists gone, many vendors netted over over $1,000 per market in those two markets. So we believe that a permanent indoor space between the parks would make this market take off and help downtown businesses as well. It would be a huge undertaking, I know that, to fund, design, and build. Markets around the province are partnering with ACOA to accomplish this meaningful investment in local economy and community. By partnering with their markets, the towns are indirectly supporting each vendor who relies on the market as a place to do business, and each customer who relies on the market for fresh local food and socializing. Helping to create new businesses, keep dollars in the local economy, and build relationships through a happy gathering space seems like a great thing to do. Thank you, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to attempt to answer them.
Thank you, Cindy. Any councilors have questions or comments? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Cindy, you say you're not a speaker. I think you did very well. I think it came through loud and clear what you're saying. As you know, you're aware there's some others like up in Annapolis and in Masstown and such. It started from nothing to build up to where they are, and they become recognized for what they are. Coming down to the park and being with you all the time and understanding how what you have to do to set up and take down even. All these things are a deterrent to want to come. So I think the one word you used in there is partnerships. And I think partnerships is the big key word should be for the region, to try to work with others. And where we can go with this, I think that's, you know, and nothing will come quickly, but we need a plan going forward, and that's the whole idea of this whole thing.
Yes.
So I'm saying, where are we gonna go with this, and what are we gonna do? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Councilor Frehley?
Great presentation, Cindy, really, really well done. When you're looking at it, when you're envisioning down the road, what is it that you see? Are you looking at one permanent building in an ideal world, or are you looking at somewhere to Annapolis where there's smaller stalls? Or what would be your ideal, and then what would be the compromise in between?
My ideal would be a comfortable, airy indoor space with protection from the weather, but the feeling of an outdoor market. It can be done with room for, what I love about privateers, the people who come and sit down at a picnic table and have a coffee, and then their friends come and old Sonny hobbles in and he hangs out, which must be incredibly good for him. And I would like to preserve that in an indoor space. Lunenburg does that very well. People stay sometimes all morning. And it would be a space that could be, I don't think we should build permanent stalls. I think that would get in the way of using it for, say, a bandstand or yoga classes or whatever. I think Coastal Queens Place is gonna have some problematic issues once that bypass is done. I think they should be in there.
Okay. And the Lunenburg Market is held in?
The community center, but it's
center.
A big community center. And in the summer, they put us in the arena when the ice is gone, and we have 45 vendors in the summer. We're down to 28 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But last week, I made $1,500, so.
Right. And you find in the Corona Club, it works in Lunenburg, and it works because people are aware of you over the summer, over the years. It's been around for a while, right?
It's been around for almost 30 years. It's
okay.
Not the curling club, it's the big arena. And it's across the parking lot, same parking lot as the community center.
Oh,
so
right.
They know where we are, and we have big signs that, and we have, you know, Facebook announces when the market's moving and all that.
Deputy Mayor McLeod,
thank you.
Cindy, you're a delight. You know, I always enjoy speaking with you about the markets, and you're so enthusiastic, and you have a great presence. There's often a slogan, you build it and they will come. I think you're already here, and we need to help you find a home. That's pretty much what it is, right? Yeah.
Yes, but I would like to caution you that although we have been offered some of the other spaces around town, they will not work.
No, I know that. But
good.
What I'm saying is, you know, not that I wouldn't say build it, but I'm saying you're here, so we have to provide that venue for you down in the area that works best for your logistics is important for you. I know that. And all the amenities and things that people need, parking. So when this is designed, if it's designed like a, I think of like a pavilion, but something that is, you know, it's flexible for the use, and you want that outside atmosphere, and you know, you want all these little things. You know what works now, but you just have to find the place to put all this in under one roof, and I think that can be worked on.
Unfortunately, in Liverpool, and this will bring the price up, I think it also has to be aesthetically pleasing.
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
It shouldn't look like, you know, a garage or warehouse.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The aesthetics is important.
Councilor Kelly?
Hi, Cindy. And I agree with you. And, you know, farmers markets are important, and they're great economic.
Can't hear you.
I'm
sorry. Can't hear you.
I just said they're a great economic driver. I agree with her for farmers markets. Sorry about that. And but what I wanted to ask you was, could you define your farmers market? Because people have different visions of what a farmers market is, and I know yours is very specific. And when you talk about partnerships, then I'd like to know at one time, like you want this all year round, and you would be every Saturday, all year round. So who do you see yourself being able to share that space with on a Saturday? Like, for instance, in that space, because your farmer's market is very specific and the rules, if you want.
That is a very good question, and we do have rules and we have a code of conduct. We created this market more or less as a reaction to another market that will remain nameless, where I went with my homegrown cherry tomatoes and watched another vendor take cherry tomatoes out of the little plastic container from what's the name of the big producer, the hydroponic grape tomato producer, and dump them in little green cardboard cartons to look like mine. Everything goes. Privateer is a producer's market. You have to either make it or grow it or produce it. You cannot resell. We've had people come and say, I just bought a truckload of sneakers. Can I come to your market? No, you can't. Go sell by the roadside, and they did. Which is not to say that I have sometimes thought with new local businesses, it might be great to provide a one-time stall or once a year to introduce new local businesses of other kinds, just to get their faces in front of the public so people know they're there, but not for every week. They can't sell cleaning agents that they get from a warehouse in Ontario at our market. I think probably some of you know who I'm talking about, who is a great market supporter. I would love to see him once a year going, look, this is a natural product, but once a year. And that's not even in our rules yet. We'd have, the board would discuss it.
Councilor Fisk?
Cindy, it was a great presentation. Really enjoyed it. A question, the venue, what size venue? How much square footage do you think a building should be?
That's a very good question. I don't have an answer to that. Right now at our largest, we're a whopping 18 vendors, and that's really at our largest. I think it will grow once there's an indoor space. So it has to be considered that each vendor is going to want at least a 10 by 10 foot space. And you might think ahead to just how many vendors the town might hope to get. Certainly, I don't want something as big as the curling club. We've rented a few times during Hurricane Arthur, as a matter of fact, and we were like a mouse in a lion's cage.
You mean you're saying the curling club is too small?
Too big.
Too large.
It's a cavern.
Okay.
Our 12 little vendors looked like nothing in there. And it was expensive for us. It just about broke the bank for our $10 a week fee.
Okay. So, any idea, maybe, I understand the region should get involved in helping and what have you, but any idea what the venue might cost to build? Or?
Well, it depends on a lot of options for what the region wants it to look like. I would guess in the vicinity of $400,000, Jack?
Well, I know that was what cost up there in Masstown.
Okay.
Not Masstown, but the one up in
the
Glasgow.
New Glasgow was 450,000, yeah. Brian, do you have a figure in your head?
Well, I know the VIC was a $400,000 price tag. So the size of that, if you think.
What?
VIC.
Perhaps you should pick your contractors more carefully in future. That's quite a small space. We really don't want a structure like BJ's. It's out in the wind and weather. It's not very big.
But
yeah.
Cindy, I heard you say that down, if it was on the waterfront, for example, on the Privateers Park, that you'd want it to fit into the park to make it beautified, to make it good. So that's actually cost there, is it not?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, if you have to architects build the building so it attracts the venue in the area
mm-hmm.
being placed, there's extra cost of that too. But anyway, I'm not trying to downhill. So I think you've done a great job. I think it's a very good future for Queens to invest in something like this. So thank you very much for your presentation.
Councilor Kerwick?
One more question. When you first started, you were in Privateer Park, which
mm-hmm.
had its share of issues because of the wind and the openness of it. You've moved over to Centennial Park next to the VIC, and is that a better location for you?
It has been for several reasons. People go in and out of the Visitor Information Center a lot, and they see us, and also for some of the older vendors, the bathroom is closer. So, no bathroom in Privateer Park.
Kelly?
Just one last question too is when you mentioned VJ's farm market as well at the farmer's market that's set up in the parking lot, would she qualify to be in your market?
Because she is grandfathered, I would tell the board to say yes, I have some reservations. I grow everything I sell at that market. Valerie does not grow bananas.
No, that's right.
Any other councilors?
It is so recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality refer the presentation to staff for a report.
Second for that, Councilor Frehley. Discussion on the motion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Cindy. Very good
Thank
presentation. Now move on to item 4.0, tabling of petitions. Do we have any petitions tabled today? Any petitions? Hearing none, we'll move on to 5.0, public question comment session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your conversation to 5 minutes or less, please. Thank you. Recognize Leon Robinson first.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll try to keep 5 minutes. I have two or three different items here for information. Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. First of all, the first presentation there with the Department of Environment in Carter's Beach, which was just here before, it looks as though they're looking at it as a more or less a protected beach to a point as far as interpretation and so on of what is there. As far as the parking is concerned, which seems to be a real big problem, and if they're looking at space there, as I've mentioned to council before, where the parking lot is now, my understanding is the land just beyond that is government-owned. I'm not sure which department owns it, and that could be expanded, for example, I think, to make extra parking. Also, it's been mentioned before, myself, there's another entrance to that beach. You go down to what's known as Cranberry Hall, going down to the road to Southwest Platoon, and you go down, there's a public road, I believe it's public there. I remember Holly Pope would go there with my dad back years ago down to Wobbly Tech Beach, and could be developed there for parking and an entrance there down to the wave from the public and so on. And if you put in proper walkways and so on to protect the beach areas and signage and so on, that might work. But I gathered from their presentation, they're looking at shifting the people, the large number of people, to a place like they mentioned Somerville Beach and so on, keeping this for people to go down for short walks and so on and then look at the interpretation and not really spend the whole day there like a lot of people like to do now. That's the interpretation that I got there. But there are alternatives there and that could probably be passed on to the committee. And thank you. And I noticed in the press recently there's been a change in, as we all know now, I guess, in management at Queen's Place. She'll be a new manager there, and the present general manager will be moving over here and going with economic development. Also, I understand from the press release, the recreation department or recreation director will be managing the Queen's Place. Will the department be located over there? And have you hired a new recreation director at this point in time, Mr. Mayor?
We have Megan Roberts has been selected from all those that applied. She had the highest point rating in that process and was selected. She'll assume her duties April the 3rd, and she will be located at Queen's Place in Mira Center.
And she'll be the recreation director?
She'll be director of recreation.
Director of recreation, okay, and her office will be there.
Correct.
Mr. Burns will be located over here in the economic
He will be here in economic development and work further on events and sourcing revenue, promotion, materials, advertising for Queen's Place as well.
So he'll be doing similar, or something similar, part of his job will be similar to what he's been doing in the past.
A portion of that job will be, but it will be expanded for other issues. Yes.
Right. My 5 minutes is not up. I'd just like to make another comment there. With respect to the courthouse lease that's coming up here a little later, I think that's a good thing. It puts the building to good use, and I would say at a minimal cost to the taxpayer, and it's estimated, I think it's about $15,000 cost the taxpayer on our end of it. And but it would be a good attraction, I think, for the town and for the region as a whole. One final comment. I know Port Mercy, the new development that we have here, and still being developed here in Brooklyn. And I've had different people mentioning, gee, is there going to be a tour for the public at some point in time? Because they'd like to see what's going on there and how things are going and being developed there.
That is an issue that we can present to Port Mercy
yes.
supervisors and see what they're wishing to do with it. It is a secure location,
yes.
and it's one of the few in Canada that does exist as having its own security force, and that is a benefit to RJ McIsaac in their naval demolition and recycling process.
Right.
So that'll be a decision they make, but we can certainly pass that on to them for consideration.
Yes, I've heard different people wonder if that would be possible. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leon. Yes, if you may.
Yes. Stan Clark, 48 Carter's Beach Road. Two or three things I'd like to comment on. It seems open here. And one of the things, Your Worship, is I didn't hear half of what you said. I didn't hear a quarter of what the presentation that they made. And I don't know how the other people felt up here. But
it's not good back here.
It's nothing. Nothing. And I don't know if there's a sound system in here or. But it's very disheartening to come to a meeting and not hear anything. I know I've got bad hearing, I've got ear aids, but and the presentation about Carter's Beach, we've been involved in this since the wish list went out to the flip chart in 2012, what we want, what's going on. And it doesn't seem to be very transparent to what the actual issue is. And the downright issue is the Carter's Beach keeping it as it is and yet letting people appreciate it. And there's been suggestions made about Southwest Port Mattoon, the old Granbury Hall, as they call it, going in excess in there. There used to be a golf course in there, cabins, a lodge, and it's time that someone has taken provincially, regional, and federally and developed that area. It's one of the best ones in Canada that we've got left for dunes. And develop it in there with a parking lot, access with boardwalks, access with the Interpretive Center. It's a catch-win-all for everyone. And that's number one off my list. And number two is the transparency of certain things. As a citizen, I get mixed messages all the time. Like I attended a meeting the other night at the Astro, and I think I spoke to you about, as I entered, is this open to the public? No, it was supposed to be an invite. Well, I received a call to attend it. It was supposed to be open to the public. And then some of the merchants that I went to yoga, they, a business across the street the next day, they didn't get an invite. They weren't invited. And it seems like the transparency. And then I sit up in the galley and find out about things changing at the center. Like the transparency isn't happening. It isn't, in my opinion. And my last thing is I have to leave. I have to go to the airport. But it's nice to see a turnout in the community together. But I would like to hear, and the presentation that they put on, they're government employees. The presentation that was, we're going back to 2012 without flip charts. And the last thing is the historical people moving up there. I think that's a lovely move. That's fantastic. And I'll get to the farmer's market. I'll touch on that if I could. I'm sorry if I've been involved in Annapolis Rural Farmer's Market, the Kentville Farmer's Market, Board of Directors on the Berg Farmer's Market, the Wolfville Farmer's Market. It's not me. It's Little Asian Catering. And if you get any talk to any of those people in those markets about a vibrant community thing, that Kentville one was something like Liverpool is now, and people got together. It it's part of the downtown happening now. And it's very important that that issue too, the farmer's market, gets recognition for the community and work on that. You don't have to go very far. You look at Shelburne, you talk about buildings. 2 or 3 years ago, see what they had, and drive down now and see what they're doing there now. And that's not a monster of a Taj Mahal to stay out of the weather. In fact, when we finally get into the Wolfram market, that was all outside. And come snow, hail, wind, and you can talk to the market manager there, Kelly Marie, about presentations on markets and getting things started, or Annapolis Royal. And thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for your comments. A couple of quick updates on your questions. We've been having some issues with our speaker system now for a number of years. Work has been done. There's a fine line between turning up the speakers to the point where they work good and where they reverberate. And I think it would be fitting if I asked Christine, are we at that level at this point, Christine, would you know?
I don't know.
Is there an ability to turn it up a little higher and see how it goes? Would you like to try that and see how it works? We'll try to improve upon that. It is our intention to have everyone hear all that's said today. The presentation by Parks and Protected Areas and Natural Resources today on Carter's Beach, that is a preliminary presentation they wanted to do at council. They will be holding stakeholder consultation as they move forward over the next month or so. And I would encourage everyone to attend those meetings and provide input to the departments as to personal interest in Carter's Beach, and I think the end product will be much better for that input and discussion. The public meeting with businesses that was held at the town hall was a meeting which the region periodically has with stakeholders. It was to focus on what we felt could be possible to support business in the town of Liverpool, and principally to find from them what their expectations and ideas were. It was not open to the media or the public per se, in that view that we wanted to have them speak openly, and some are a little concerned to do that when the media is present. So are we perfect in the region of Queens? No. Some businesses were apparently missed with the invitation, and we apologize for that, but we will be holding more consultation with business in the downtown area. And we will try to achieve the best that we can to support business in the downtown area. Hopefully that's a bit of an update for you, and certainly appreciate your comments this morning. Any other member of the gallery? Mary, if you would.
Mary White from Beach Meadows. I'm coming into some things later on. They may have already been discussed, so I'm sorry to repeat myself. But as far as the environmental protection presentation went. Again, it's the first time that I've heard most of this, so I do appreciate any effort they made to do that. I also, as being a visitor to Carter's Beach, newly from this area, I understand some of the problems that they are having, especially on Carter's Beach Road, and I agree totally that there needs to be something done. I'm wondering if maybe we couldn't put this whole situation into the category of a transportation issue, and maybe link it in with that, because it appears that what you need is a way to get people from one place to another place for a minimal cost for people to be able to do it when they want, within reason. And you also want, at some point in time, to be able to educate them. So if you wrap them all up, you've got them to park somewhere in another part of the town, maybe every 15 minutes, or a dial-and-ride system, where somebody takes over a summer job, issues them down to the beach, gives them a guide while they're on their way, tells them to pack their stuff in and out, bing, bang, boom, it's all done. They get to see the whole town while they're going through the beach. They get to see what other opportunities there are when they get back to their car, and some kid gets a job for the summer. That's all I have to say on that one. I don't know if it's a possible option or not. Maybe something to look at. The other thing, the farmer's market, I agree. We're way, way, way behind other areas as far as farmer's markets goes and the economic opportunities that they present. However, again, we're still talking about problems with the downtown area trying to fill up storefronts. And my job here today and every day from now on is gonna be to preserve the downtown commercial area so that it doesn't become low-cost housing, which decreases the property values and will rip the community's downtown core out of here and basically make us nothing afterwards because it'll never come back. So I'm wondering if it's not possible for city and the people from the farmers market to get together with the people from the commercial community and see if they can't get some kind of a partnership working. I know Hell Bay wants to do something with that parking lot that's next door to them. That seems like a really good sort of a partnership to me. Seems like Alan Stubble or somebody that has a large storefront downtown maybe could make it into some kind of a partitioned off business. They're paying $10. Maybe they want to be there one day. Maybe they want to be there every day. I don't know. It would be great to have a huge farm market area that we could all build and spend money on, but I don't know if that's feasible at this time. Maybe we should look at something in the interim until we get to that point. Large enough. Not trying to rain on anybody's parade, Cindy. I'm not. And also, as far as I understand what she wants to do with the producer's market, but I do think that it's narrowing the scope of the market too much so that it's not allowing enough people the viable option to get into that market. So although I don't think somebody should be there selling shoes every day that they bought from Walmart, I agree with that. I do think that we need to broaden the amount of products that are available to people that go there so that their interest is there to go. So they should be able to get, you know, a jug of milk or a tomato in the middle of winter or something like that, a banana, whatever. And lastly, I know I'm probably going overboard as well, as far as the Chamber of Commerce meeting goes, which I believe is what we were discussing there that wasn't open to the public.
It was a Region of Queens meeting with
Region of Queens
selected
meeting?
Business people.
Okay, I'm just, I have some questions in regards to that. I'm not much for keeping the media out of places, so I'm wondering if maybe we could indeed have some kind of a more transparent system so that if people want to go to these things, they are advised of them, especially the economic events that are happening at the Chamber of Commerce and things like that, and be invited more readily. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any other member? Yes.
Kim Williams, Forest Street in Liverpool. First, farm market. I've been in farm markets all the way from Comox, BC to Sydney, Nova Scotia. When we moved here, I looked into the one here, but because of our product, of course, it's temperature sensitive. Soap with packaging and that, we have an issue, and I have an issue with it because I can't be outside in wind or cold weather. So an indoor facility would be fantastic. We've had multiple ones that we've been in from one end to the other. Great one would be to work maybe with your, Brian, with your ideas of having, we wanted to have some kind of a pavilion or something that could be used for rentals for weddings and special events and stuff like that. You could do that and then have a storeroom at the end, which could be used for putting the farm market stuff in when you're going to have a wedding or a special event, and pull it out on Saturday mornings. That way it's multiple use, and that's what you really have to go to, is a multi-use facility. It costs a little bit more, but you're going to get a lot more use out of it and get a lot more dollar back and bang for your buck. Hillsview Acres, that's still kind of in the process, whether you're going to revitalize it or build a new facility. If you're going to decide on a new facility, maybe instead of starting from scratch, which costs an absolute fortune, go and tour Digby, their facility. They replaced Tideview a few years back. And then you can take advantage of the fact that there's already plans, so you're going to save on your architecture and your engineering. Instead, you're just going to have to slightly adapt it to your area, and that way you could actually tour it, see how it works, learn what works and what doesn't work, and make improvements. And on the highway, the signs for Queens County is this little tiny one. It would be nice to have a bigger one like they do over on the valley side for each of the counties, to have something that actually advertises the county. You know, there's ones for each town. It'd be nice to have something that would actually promote the area, so you would need three on the three different ways to be in. And something nice that would involve something like of heritage and future and stuff like that all together. And last thing is a big thank you to the RCMP for the meeting last night.
Mm-hmm.
Very poorly attended, which was sad to see, but a great presentation, and I wish more would have been.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public gallery?
Yes.
Bob, the Anvil Box, 121 Bottle Road. I would like to speak briefly on item 8.1 in regard to the unsolicited proposal for the courthouse. It's very heartening to know that we have a group that are interested in preserving that particular location. I think for everybody understands the economic implications of using that for a library and other use, and to have a proven board of directors and an organization to be making a proposal for that location, I think is a very valuable item. I am concerned a little bit that we are continuing to be able to continuing to provide heat and lights and all of this stuff for various entities, and I would like to see perhaps some investigation as to whether there are other sources of funding for these type of things. I know there are implications if you own the property and when you're leasing the property or whatever, but you know, we seem to get into these long-term arrangements where we're providing these things and there doesn't seem to be an end date or an out other than the termination of the lease, which doesn't solve anything. The other thing is in regard to we have been providing grants annually towards the museum, and I'm interested in whether this would be expected to be continued or increased in order to provide for the provision of this facility for the courthouse. I congratulate the board of directors of the Queens County Museum for coming forward with this proposal to help out in our community, and I hope that council will look on their proposal favorably, and that as I say, that other sources of funding may be explored in order to reduce the cost of the ratepayers. In regard to the Carter's Beach presentation this morning, I was very disappointed that we are continuing to try and take natural facilities away from the public. We are bringing people to our community from outside. They get here and they say, where can I go for a nice beach? The people have been to Carter's Beach, they say, oh, you've got to see Carter's Beach. They go to Carter's Beach and you're met by an interpreter who says, I'm sorry, but we've already reached our quota for parking for the day, and we only park on one side here, and that nice empty space over here, you can't go there or you'll get a ticket. And you know, this has been an item that's been on the agenda of this council going back to 94, 95 when I was on council, and each time it is suggested that the government owned land at the end of the road, there is a small area of land that is publicly owned at that location, and each time it is suggested that that be done, government seems to come back and say, oh, but we don't want to have anything in that area, we prefer to have that as a buffer between the community and the beach. I think it's time that we stop having buffers. We use the crown jewels that we have for to bring people and maintain dollars for their community. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Very quickly, Carter's Beach, parking has been an issue and continues to be an issue. There are discussions that the Region of Queens has had with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources on potential parking. It's not in our present budget. We take one step at a time as we move forward, as you well understand, being a previous councillor. We'll take our lead also from the input from the public consultations that is held this winter and early spring, and we would encourage all residents to participate in that. As far as the courthouse, hopefully it will provide attraction to tourists and visitors this year if council gives approval today. We take one step at a time there, and of course the monies that we have in past years provided to various groups, including the Queens County Museum through our grants organizations, has been focused towards assisting with the money they need to raise for the Queens County Museum location. And it is my understanding that we do not have any requests for specific funding to assist with their proposed operation of the courthouse. So that hopefully will address some of your questions. Any other member of the gallery like to speak today? Great. Thank you very yes. Thank you very much for your comments. Very briefly, I'll entertain a comment from Councillor Fancy.
Well, I don't know if it's appropriate at this particular time, but maybe it's something we could consider lapel mic, and I've mentioned this before, because a lot of these are away from people, and it's people who are light speaking. So for the presenter, if it had a lapel mic, you could get the volume that you wanted to. It would only affect them and not affect the whole. You have to try to bring the whole thing up to meet that. And I think they're minimal in consideration.
Yes, and as you likely will see, we have already amended the mic system last month, and I'm sure it's not the end of the upgrades that are required in this system. As part of that, I would encourage all councillors and staff today to speak loudly so everyone can hear. And I should ask, is it any better now that we have the mics turned up, the amplifiers? For some it is, for some it isn't. Okay.
Presentation table is one that's a real problem.
Okay, yeah. Appreciate that. Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I just want to say that it's I really appreciate the public presentations today, the public question period. I think it's great to have the engagement of our public at our regular meetings, and it gives us a lot of food for thought and these great ideas exchanged this morning. I really appreciate what you've had to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm going to step outside and ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer, if she'd like to say a word.
Just real quick, this is a new mic, as you all know, by the presentation table. We can change the height of it. So we'll just play with that over the next couple of meetings and see how that goes. I've lowered it just a little bit since the comments from the gallery earlier.
Okay.
So just so we know, we can adjust the height of the mic.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to 6-0, approval of minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular council January 24th, 2017. Do we have a mover for that? Deputy Mayor McLeod, the seconder. Councillor Muse, any discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous, thank you. I will entertain a motion under 6-2. Minutes of the regular council for February 14th, 2017. Do we have a mover? Councillor Muse, the seconder. Councillor Fancy. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you.